The Your Safe Space podcast is recorded on Wurundjeri land. This podcast acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. You're listening to the Your Safe Space podcast, hosted by me, Adele Marie. Today, joining me on air is Em, and we are talking about navigating the dating pool in 2024. How to date with more intention and how to set yourself up for the best possible dating success. Let's talk about it. Hello, Em.
Hello, lovely. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be back in Melbourne. I'm excited to be back in the podcast studio.
I know. Fancy seeing you here.
I know. I'm excited to be back and talking about dating again. It's been a while since I think we've discussed dating and things have changed and it's exciting.
I know. It's been a hot, hot minute.
I know.
I'm so happy that you're here. I'm trying to squeeze all the episodes out of Em before she flies back.
Literally, like, my flight's in like 3 hours and we're like, let's go.
Let's get it done. All right. Well, we start all of our Sunday episodes just to refresh your memory because it's been a while. We start our Sunday episodes with what's taking up space. So things that are taking up space for you in your world right now. Would you like to start or would you like me to start?
I can start. I've got a few things taking up space for me.
Tell us.
I head to Europe in 4 days from now. So by the time this comes out, I will already be in Europe. I'll be in the south of France, in Nice, by the time you guys are listening.
Watching those stories and living vicariously through you.
I'm very excited. So I'm going away for 4 weeks, but that's obviously taking up a lot of space. There's also a lot of space in terms of my baggage that I'm trying to sort out because I only have 20 kilos.
20?
Because like for the internal flights, there's only 20.
I had the same thing. I had 23, so it may as well have had 20. It's hard.
I think I've just accepted I'm going to have to pay overweight baggage because if there's one thing about me, it's I like a fit check. And
we love your
fit
check.
How am I meant to do 4 weeks of fit checks with like 1 week's worth of clothes? So we're going to have to figure that out.
Fair enough. Where exactly are you going? Give us a quick rundown.
Quick rundown is Paris, south of France, Malta, Sicily, Rome, Barcelona, Lisbon, back to Paris.
Some of my favorite places are in there.
I'm so excited. And so it's just going to be hectic lead up to that. And then on Thursday, I'm working from home / not working because I've got all my appointments and then I have to get another infusion because my health has been causing me a whole lot of grief and I'm trying to not die while over in Europe. But
yes,
thank God for travel insurance. Let's hope she pulls through if need be. Let's hope she's not needed.
Let's hope she's not needed. Exactly. But, and we hope the infusion goes well and we hope that your health holds up while you're over there. One of our chronically ill girlies.
Yeah, we love a little chronically ill moment. It's always like the stress for the lead up to things that just make things worse.
And yeah.
I'm like, this is actually not what I need.
Yeah. But. And the stress in the lead up to a holiday, it's like bizarre, right? Because you're looking forward to it, but then you're panicking as well because there's things to do. You're going to be gone. You're worried about missing people. You're worried about work. You're worried about your routine. Like, it's really hard. And I've even found when I've gone away, it's not till you're like on the plane that you can actually just go, oh.
Yeah, it's like, okay, nothing I can do now. I'm already in the plane.
Yeah.
I just have to accept
on the way. And if you forget something, you can buy it over there.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But what's taking up space for you?
Oh, God, fuck.
Big week for you.
Massive week. And I will share more with the listeners in good time. I have a lot of family stuff going on at the moment. I'm sure everyone can put two and two together. It has to do a little bit with my parents' separation, a little bit with some health and other stuff, which I'm not quite ready to talk about just yet. When I am, I definitely will. Obviously, I want to be respectful of my own family and some things don't need to be online as they happen. Some things can be kept offline.
Absolutely.
On top of that, my phone broke on Thursday last week. And let me tell you, it's fucking Mercury retrograde.
You were like texting me and I was like, Adele, I love you so much. I don't know what you want me to do about this.
I was texting Em. I was like, please help.
You were like, help me. All my videos are missing. I was like, I'm in another state.
My phone was telling the wrong time. I lost all my photos. I lost all my videos. I lost my contacts. It deleted everything off my phone. I couldn't access anything. Like, I couldn't access any app.
Did you get it all back when you got your new phone?
I did. I got my new phone on Saturday, but I didn't set it up till Sunday, which was yesterday. And so it actually took me like 5 hours to set it up. Because I have 80,000 photos and videos, it took so long to restore.
Yeah.
And then it only restored up until the end of March. So I, whatever happened from like March 31st till yesterday, I lost, which is fine. It was just some text messages and photos or videos that I had taken. But yeah, I was like, holy shit, Mercury retrograde coming for me in the first week, because they say like technology is impacted.
Yeah.
And I actually handled it better than what I thought, but I was stressed because
I go insane 1 hour on the plane without my phone. I could not imagine it not working.
No. So I was in a way distracted because I had other things going on with my family as well, but got a new phone, very grateful to have been able to do that. And I haven't dropped this one yet. So
yeah, that actually reminds me, I need to get a new screen protector for mine because it's just like ruined. And I want, I want to feel like I have got a new phone.
Yeah, the screen protector will do that. Maybe that can be a recommendation at the end. Buy screen protector. All right, let's get into today's show. Obviously, it's been a hot minute since we did an episode like this. And I think it's overdue because, you know, we have lots of listeners who listen to this podcast who are single, maybe not in the dating pool, or who are single and are in the dating pool. And I think at the best of times, the dating pool can be really, really rough and it can be really, really relentless as well. But we wanted to do this episode to share some of our insights, I'm going to say, from dating and give just some encouragement to anyone who's thinking about dipping their toes back in the dating pool or who is ready but doesn't really know where to start. We're just going to get you on the same page, get you some clarity and having fun with dating in 2024.
Exactly.
That's the main thing.
And I think that maybe we give people like a recap because we're in very different like positions, right?
We are.
Like, I'm 23. My 5-year relationship ended middle of last year, like June, July last year. Single, dating for like 7-8 months. And now I'm in a new relationship. But I loved dating. I loved being single. I loved the dating life. I loved single life. And I learned so much about myself and what I like and all that. But that's like obviously a very different situation to a lot of people. And I think that like me being 23 makes my dating experience different to you being 31.
Yeah.
Tell us who you are and what your dating life, as in like, you know, your...
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's, I obviously dated like towards the end of last year. I also dated a little bit at the start of last year too. I think I had a different approach to dating towards the back end of 2023 where I was just trying to have more fun with it, data collection, if you will, and take it a little bit differently. But yeah, I definitely think the dynamic kind of changes as you get older for two reasons. Obviously, like as a woman, you have your biological clock and that kind of just like hangs in the back of your head as well. But also having had a couple of long-term relationships in my 20s, I feel like I also learned a lot about myself from those, even though they didn't work out. I've trialed many, many things when it comes to dating. So I like to feel that I have gotten wiser with my age.
And I think that you inevitably get, you have to get wiser as you age, right?
Yeah.
Surely that's just the part of like life. But dating in general is a learning experience.
Yeah.
Aging in general is a learning experience. And you put the two together and you kind of learn a lot about how other people function as well. Like you're dating and you're meeting people and you're like, you are insane. Or like, you handled that really well or you handled that really poorly and you get to learn so much about yourself and about others. And I don't know. I really loved the dating experience.
Yeah.
But not everyone says that. So maybe I'm just...
Not everyone says that. And so what we're going to do right now is give you our top dating lessons. So when you think about your time in the dating pool, what have been some lessons that have stuck with you that you would want to share with the listeners?
So basic, but like generally top line is just like, have fun. Like the thing that I took away from that is I was like, let it be fun. Let it be a learning experience. Let it be a fun story to tell. I didn't want to miss out on opportunities. I didn't want to miss out on things because I was like too nervous or too scared. Like I generally approached all my dates as like a, oh, wonder what this person is going to be like and what I'm going to have to tell people the next day and like what... What story am I going to get out of this?
Yeah.
And not even in like a, oh, they're just a zoo animal. Like this is all just in a way of me being like, look, this could be the love of my life or this could be a fun story to tell my colleagues tomorrow. And either way, like I get to meet someone new and we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah, I love that.
But it's just fun.
Yeah, I think that goes hand in hand with like taking the pressure off and like releasing your expectations. It's okay to go into the dating pool wanting something, but also being open to it being something else and not having that pressure on yourself? Because I think for me, especially in the past when I've dated, I have put a lot of pressure and said, oh, I'm going to find my husband and I'm going to do this. So then like you go on a date and it like doesn't meet those expectations. So that can be disheartening. Yeah. But yeah, if you just remind yourself to have fun with it and not really treating it like an interview, a job interview, or treating it as like this, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed and so nervous and so worried about this first date, and just thinking of it as an interaction with a stranger. And it might be that funny story, or it might actually be someone you want to go on a second or third date with.
I think what helped me kind of relieve the pressure and like the expectation is I was just like, whatever's going to happen will happen. Whatever's meant to be will be. So like, if I go on this date and it's shit, then that's how it's meant to be. If I go on this date and it's good, then that's how it's meant to be. So there's no point in me sitting there worrying, stressing about what this person's going to think about me or if I embarrass myself or whatever. Cause I'm like, whatever's going to come from this date is going to come from it.
Yeah.
Like, it's already, things are already set in motion on whether or not I'm going to make a fool of myself. All I'll do is just like, make sure I don't get too drunk, make sure I have a safe way home, make sure like everything else, like obviously be wise and make smart decisions for yourself and your safety.
Yeah.
But don't worry about like all the like menial little stuff.
Yeah. I love that. One of my lessons is you don't have to be 100% healed to get back in the dating pool.
I fully agree.
Comes with a little side note. The side note is you should have done a little bit of work on yourself and been a little bit self-aware to understand why your last few relationships ended or what patterns and role you played in your relationships ending. But even if you don't necessarily feel ready, but you want to, and you're worried about how healed you are or how over something you are, you shouldn't hold yourself back.
Yeah. And I think that you uncover so much that isn't healed when you enter the dating pool. Like even if you think you're 100% healed.
You're not.
You're not. You never are. And I don't think anyone's ever done healing. But healing by yourself out of a relationship is one thing, but then healing your relationship with relationships is another thing.
It's like this quote I saw on TikTok. It was, are you really healed or are you just isolated with no one to trigger you? And it's so true because for me as well, when I've been single and not dating, I'm like, oh yeah, like living my best life. Nothing's really impacting my mood or causing me to be triggered or freaked out. But this every time I've gone into the dating pool, and it even happened last year when I went back in the dating pool, I was like, fuck, like there are a lot of things that I'll only be able to heal in the dynamic of dating someone or being with somebody. Because a healthy relationship can heal you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Much more than being solo. Next lesson, M.
My next lesson is that compatibility matters and makes all the difference. Like every single date I went on, I could tell within the first like 2 minutes.
Yes.
If it was going to be good or if it was going to be bad. I could tell, honestly, messaging people. I'm a big messenger. I love texts. Like I very much am like a chronically online person where I'm like, I need to be with someone that's also like always texting.
Yeah.
But I could always kind of tell if someone was going to be good or bad before I met them. And then within 10 minutes, I could always tell if we're going to be able to click or not. And that doesn't always mean in a romantic way. Like I had gone on like dates with people that ended up just kind of being friends, but we just like got along really well and it was just fun. But to me, like compatibility and chemistry are like huge things that I can't deny. Like if I go on a first date and it's not something that just naturally flows and something that can last hours and something that we're both like not wanting to say goodbye, then like I'm not interested. Like I want full chemistry, full compatibility from the get-go.
I back that. And I even think like backing yourself to get to that point where you can then make those decisions quickly and confidently. Because I'm the same. I can tell by the first date if it's going to go anywhere or if it's not. And I think in the past, especially in my 20s, when I had been unsure about it, I would give myself like a 3-date rule. And I don't necessarily know if it's 3 dates. So it would be 2 to 3 where if I, because I also feel like first dates, can be nervous, right?
Yes.
And people might not always be comfortable enough to let their, like their true selves like kind of come out in that first date. On their second date, I feel like the walls slightly lower a little bit and you can be a little bit more comfy with each other. But yeah, I think in the past, if I've ever felt confused, I've had to go on like another date or two to like figure it out. Yeah. But in saying that, as I got older, I also learned if you're confused, it's probably not it.
Yes. And I also think that like I know what I want in a partner isn't that like awkwardness, shyness. And that's also because I'm quite an extrovert that I've always known that like my partner will be quite extroverted. And like my partner needs to be able to hold a conversation with a stranger, let alone someone that they've organized a date with.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I don't know, there's just something that in my head I'm like, nah, if the first date's awkward, it's not going to be like for me.
Yes.
And that's fine. Like obviously there are so many people that, you know, that first date's awkward and then it's been the world's best love story and then they gave it a second chance. But it's just understanding what you are like and 100%. What you want in a partner and what, like if you're awkward as well, then obviously there's a bit more like room for grace. But all of the like awkward dates that I've had, it's resulted in me absolutely carrying the conversation and me having to ask all the questions and me having to guide the whole experience, which I don't want to do in a relationship. So I don't want to do on a first date. Like I want it to be able to be like a natural back and forth conversation. I want there to be banter. Like banter is such a big thing for me. Maybe that's another lesson. Is it like if you can't have banter with the person and that's important to you, don't bother.
Yeah.
You'll forever be wishing that you were dating someone funny.
I know. Dating a funny person is unmatched. Love a man that can make you laugh.
Exactly.
One of my lessons is boundaries.
Yeah.
And having your own dating boundaries and then sticking to those. And what I mean by that is like having rules in place to protect yourself. You mentioned it before about like not getting drunk, having a safe way home. I'm talking about things like not accepting same day dates. I'm talking about if you don't like going for drinks, don't accept drink dates. Like,
yeah, so yours are a bit more of like, I guess, emotional boundaries.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely the physical boundaries element, which is like maybe it's for you like not sleeping with someone on the first date or not giving out your address, not getting a lift with someone. Like there's the physical boundaries and like safety elements, but 100% like emotional ones as well. Of like,
yeah, I think they're all really important, but even just establishing what they are for yourself and then sticking to them, you will have a nicer experience dating.
Yeah.
And I even remember back when I was like, when I was single in between, after my Sydney relationship breakdown, I went back in the dating pool in Sydney and I had gone on a date with this guy and he had asked me about bad dates like I had been on. And I was like, I haven't really been on any like really, really bad dates because I would like stick to my dating boundaries and I'd stick to my dating kind of rules for myself so I wouldn't get into that situation.
100%. I went on quite a lot of dates last year. Like that was my thing. This is exposing myself. Out of the 20 first dates I went on in 6 months, didn't have a single bad one.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. Because you vetted them and you stuck to your dating boundaries.
Yeah. If anyone made me slightly uncomfortable over messages, like, and I would also always message people for like multiple days before meeting them.
Yeah.
So yeah, like the not doing a same day date. Yes. There's like that emotional, like I deserve someone that plans, but there's also the like, you want to know someone a little bit more before you
They just go send you the like dinner reservation and you haven't exchanged any messages.
But yeah, I think there's like having your standards as your boundary to be like, yeah, I know what I deserve. And I know that like my ideal partner is going to be able to like, you know, at least book a dinner reservation for the weekend or book something when they say they're going to book something.
Yeah. I love that. Do you have any other lessons that you want to share?
My big lesson is to don't waste your time with people that can't communicate.
Yeah.
Sounds simple, sounds obvious, but I've always been very, very passionate about like, tell me what you want. I don't want to have to read between the lines.
Yes.
I don't want to have to guess what you want.
I'm not a mind reader.
I'm not a mind reader, but I'm also someone that appreciates directness and I feel like I can be quite direct, which people can love or people can hate. But again, like, that's like that compatibility element of like, that's something that I value and I appreciate. I don't want to play games because if something's too hard, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
If I have to sit there and guess about how you feel about me or question it, then pack it up. I'm moving on.
Yeah. And I think that just goes to like not playing games.
Yeah.
I reckon in my early 20s, I definitely subscribed to a bit of that game playing like, oh, don't message them back too quickly. Don't respond and look too keen or don't be too much. But I'm just like, no, just be you. Don't play the games. You're going to have a nicer experience as well. And I also genuinely believe when you put out that energy, when you don't ghost, when you do text back, when you are honest and when you are open and when you do communicate, you get that back in return.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said this in an episode. I remember sitting here, but it's like you've got to give a little vulnerable to get a little vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like you have to, it sucks. And I still struggle with this all the time, but being able to tell someone how you feel in order for them to tell you how they feel.
Yeah.
You kind of got to give a little bit. But yeah, I think being able to be with someone that can communicate what they want and what they see with you and how they see this entire interaction playing out is like so important and so valuable.
Definitely. My last lesson before we get into our dating with intention, because we love talking about intentions and being intentional with our actions here. But my last lesson is to not take things personally.
Mm.
And this is really hard. it can be really hard as well if you have had some bad luck in the dating pool, or if you have been hurt a few times, or if you even have a tendency to like make bad things mean something bad about you. But, you know, if you are ghosted, if they don't want to see you again for a second date, if they don't like you back, or they leave you on read for 72 hours, like, don't take these things personally.
Yes.
Look at it as like, how amazing, this person has weeded themselves out of my life. This person has done the job for me. I don't have to waste any more time on them, and I can keep my dating pool open for someone who is doing all the right things, or who is better suited for me.
Yeah.
Not to take that to heart.
And that goes as well with, like, I guess, communicating and like taking the hints that people are leaving you. Like, if someone is ghosting you or taking days to reply, like, my approach is I take that as a hint. If someone's not replying to me, I'm taking that as a hint that they don't want to talk to me, and
message.
I'm moving on.
No message is a message.
Yeah. And it's like, their inability to communicate that is communicating to me that they're uninterested. And I'm not taking that personally. I'm not saying that I'm boring and they're not interested in me. I'm saying that maybe I'm giving them the best intentions. I'm assuming that they have the best intentions. And I'm like, they don't see anything happening with me, so they are unable to communicate that. I'm going to assume that that's what they mean, and I'm moving on.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they're trying to be hurtful, or they're like, I'm going to make her sit there and stew and waiting for this reply, and like, she sucks, blah, blah, blah. It might just be, I don't know how to tell her that I'm not interested. This is really awkward. I feel really bad. Like, I'm just going to not reply today. Oh, fuck, I've left it too many days to reply, and now it's awkward. Now I can't say anything, and now she thinks I've ghosted her.
Yeah.
Honestly, doesn't matter. The end result's the same. That's where we
have the mutual ghost.
The mutual ghost.
I kind of like the mutual ghost.
Yeah. I like the mutual ghost.
I still would say it doesn't hurt to like send a message to be like, I don't want to see you again, in the nicest way. But
I think there's a time and a place. Like, I think after one date, a mutual ghost is perfectly fine.
I agree. I think after
three dates is when it needs to be communicated.
I think after two, after the second one, I would communicate.
Yeah, I guess if they're like, oh, I'd love to see you again, then you can kind of just be like, oh,
no,
thank you.
I don't want to. Yeah. Go from there. All right. Now, the second part of the show is about dating intentionally. We, as I said, love to be intentional with our time, be intentional with our energy. And I think when you are intentional with your dating process, you have a nicer experience.
See, my intention with going into dating last year was to have fun and meet people and just like, whatever happens will happen. I told people that I'd gone on dates with. They're like, oh, what are you looking for? And I was like, honestly, I'm not looking for anything. I'm open to a relationship if that's what happens, but I'm not actively looking for a relationship. Yep. I'm not actively looking for something just casual. I'm like, each experience and each relationship you have with each individual person is always going to feel and be different.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't going to close myself off to that. But that's also because I knew I wasn't looking for something casual or for a relationship or XYZ, but that's intention nonetheless.
Exactly. You still had intention there. And I guess I'm not sitting here saying like, you have to just want one certain thing. It's fine if you want a relationship. It's fine if you want to have fun. It's fine if you're just wanting to get back in there just to like see what it feels like. And you might be open to it, you might not be, but you still want to experience a dating pool. That's fine. I'm just saying you need to know what it is that you want first before you go in there. Have a clear understanding of what you're there for. Because when you know what you're there for, it can kind of be easier to then sustain
momentum.
Yeah. Or like some of the shit that goes on in the dating pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for dating with intention?
One of my tips for dating with intention is kind of the whole point, but knowing what you want and what you're open to.
Yeah.
Knowing that, like, if you are like, no, I don't want casual, I cannot do casual, that's not good for me, don't pretend that you can.
Yes.
Don't try and make it work with someone that wants something casual because you like them, because you are ruining your own life and you are holding yourself back from meeting your perfect partner.
Yeah.
So know what you want and at the same time what you're open to. Like for me, I was like, I know that I want to meet people at the core. That's all I want to do is just meet people and like
have good interactions.
Yeah. And I'm open to something casual. I'm open to something long-term. I'm open to meeting a life partner. I'm open to whatever feels right with the right person. And you kind of know once you meet them. But there was also things that I know I definitely wasn't open to. And I'm like, I don't want something that's like, I was like, I don't want a situationship. If we are having something that's casual, that is clear and boundaried from the beginning that this is just a casual thing and there is no relationship at the end of it. And until it's communicated otherwise, I'm assuming that that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Whereas there's that whole like casual, but like, now we're picking each other up from the airport and now we're doing this and now we're doing, and I'm like, that's not very casual anymore. That's
more
dating.
Than that. Correct.
But yeah, what you want and what you're into.
I think that also then goes hand in hand with like using the dating apps to your advantage.
Yes.
I know dating apps can get a bit of a bad rap and I know sometimes you can have a bad time on there. Sometimes I've had a bad time on there, but I also think as well, some apps are so great in the level of information that you're able to get and that you're able to see that other people have put in, whether they are listing their own intentions on their own app or whether they're giving you that kind of level of information. So then you can be empowered to match with certain people or not match with certain people based on what they've got on their profile and actually making sure it then aligns with you.
Yeah. What did you have on your Hinge profile?
I actually had it hidden, but I had selected long-term relationship, but I had it hidden.
See, yeah, I think I had mine hidden, but I had mine like not looking for anything specific or open
figuring
to
it, out figuring my it dating out,
which
goals.
A lot of people shit on. A lot
I
of people
shit on that.
Yeah, which I get, I fully get, but it's also like I'm not looking for anything specific. And by saying like casual, I'm losing all the people that want something long-term.
Yeah,
and by saying long-term, I'm losing something like all the people that want something casual.
Yeah. When I was swiping on Hinge last year, if someone had figuring it out or if someone had short term or like not sure, I would not match with them.
Which I fully respect. And that's what I encourage people to do.
I'd be ruthless because I was just like, if someone can't say, because I went on Hinge to find a relationship. So if someone can't say that they're on there to find a relationship, why would I match with that? And so I even discounted the people that had nothing there, even though I had nothing there, which is kind of hypocritical, but whatever.
But exactly. Like I think that, yeah, use the tools to your advantage.
Yeah.
Like if someone isn't aligned with what they want, that's fine. Like there's no point wasting your time trying to convince someone that wants something casual that you would be a great long-term partner for them. Like they've made it clear that I want that. And if they change their mind, they're going to change their mind, but it's not going to be something that you're like campaigning is going to change.
Yeah, for sure. What other dating with intention tips do you have for our listeners, Em?
My next dating with intention tip is to listen to what people say when they say it. I feel like these are a lot of the same things I say in all of these types of episodes, but exactly going back to like what people say, if they say they want casual, listen to them.
Don't change their mind.
Don't try and change their mind. If someone says they want a long-term relationship and you want something casual, don't be an asshole. Don't fuck them around and be like, oh yeah, maybe I do want that. Maybe I do want that. Just respect what people are saying. And if people are confused and they aren't sure what they want, give them the space to communicate that and then you can make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. But don't be out here trying to like change people's minds or trying to convince yourself that if you stay casual with this guy for 6 months, then he'll fall in love with you and like all will be well. It's not worth it.
Yeah. My next tip is to take it slow. We live in a very rushed society, rushed world. What's the rush, right? I know also if you are someone that's older, you might even feel like, oh, I'm running out of time or I don't have time to kind of waste. But I'm like, are you really wasting your time by taking it slow if you then possibly like end up with this person down the track? I mean, that is applicable for anyone who's wanting a relationship, really, that piece of advice. But it's like, there's no rush. Take your time with it. And just know that like it does actually take time to like build trust and build a relationship and get to know someone as well.
See, I'm the opposite.
Okay. That's okay. We can have opposite
opinions.
Because
like, yeah. And I mean, I fully agree that like there is no rush.
Yeah.
But I'm also under the belief that like if it's meant to be, it will be and things feel right when they feel right.
Yeah.
And I think I'm fully biased here because my relationship status at the moment is very much like it all just fell into place really quickly, really easily. And it just felt really right from the get-go.
Yeah.
This could all absolutely go to shit in a couple months' time and I could have could completely eat my words, but like whatever happens will happen. I've had fun and it's a good experience nonetheless.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I don't think that things should have to be slow and patient. Like if you have that connection with someone and it just feels right to like move on it.
You reckon move on it?
I reckon move on it. Keep your wits about you. Don't be fucking stupid. Don't be going and buying a house with someone that you've known for 1 month. Don't be like,
give them the keys to your house. Let them like, steal your house.
Be smart about it. But like there's no harm in being official boyfriend, girlfriend after a month of knowing someone.
Yeah. See, I'm like, oh, I'm just basing that purely on like my experience. And I'm looking at it through like my experience where I wished I hadn't rushed into some past relationships because they were the wrong ones and I didn't see like true colors until certain time points.
At the same time, I'm like, you're not going to see those. If they didn't show you their true colors until a year, that wouldn't have mattered whether or not you were boyfriend or girlfriend, or you weren't. That, like, the label doesn't change when people are going to show you these parts of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is I think that, like, as long as, I don't know, this is very, very tricky. And obviously there are situations of relationships where there's, like, abuse and X, Y, Z that come into play.
Not talking about
those. Which is hard because, like, you rush into things and you obviously no one thinks that the person they're going to be with is going to be capable of such awful things. Yeah. And you don't find that out until later. But if things feel right, let it happen, but keep your wits about you.
Do you have any other dating with intention tips? Because I've got one more.
I have a quick one, which I saw a TikTok about. Or maybe I've got
two more. Sorry, yes, go.
I saw a TikTok about, and it was like someone getting ready for a date being like, oh, me going to a date because I'm, you know, I've got to go out to the box. I'm not going to find the love of my life sitting at home. And all the comments were like, well, I know I'm not going to find the love of my life sitting at a bar either if that's not where I want to be.
Yes.
So I don't know what my intention is to take away from this, but I think it's that you will find, hang around the areas that you want to find the people that you want to fall in love with. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have zero interest in drinking, don't feel like you need to go to bars to meet the love of your life, because you don't want the love of your life to be spending every weekend at a bar if you don't like drinking or if you don't like going out.
What if he's just out there for one, like, one day having, like, after work drinks with the boys and then you happen to be there too? Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, say yes to being there. I'm always like, say yes to
things, but don't give yourself a personality that you don't want.
Like, yes, don't loiter at the bars if you don't want to have a drinking partner.
Yeah. Say yes to the after work drinks at one time because you're like, oh, why not? Like, I've got nothing better to do, might as well, because maybe you'll meet them then. But don't feel like you need to, like, make friends with people that go out every single weekend because, like, oh, I need to meet people. That's not where your partner's going to be, or the partner that you want, I'm going to assume, isn't also at the bars every weekend trying to look for you.
Yeah.
So my dating with intention advice for this one is, like, hang around the places that you want to find the people that you want to love.
Yeah, love that. Makes sense. Speaking of dog parks.
Dog
park. You can meet someone at a dog park. Bonus, they've got a dog. Tick.
Please also have a dog. Please do not just loiter at the dog park waiting for someone.
I've also seen the rise recently of run clubs.
Oh my God.
Have you seen the rise of run clubs as, like, possible dating matchmaking?
That's interesting.
Kind of love that. Where else? Do you have any off the top of your head where we can send the listeners? Bunnings?
Bunnings? I would just think, like, hobbies.
The guys at Bunnings are always, like, married, like, fixing their house.
Maybe start rock climbing or something. But, like, I wouldn't want to date a rock climber.
No.
And just because I don't want to rock climb, you know?
Exactly. And I'm not a runner. So you would not catch me at a run club.
Like, I'm not going to go on a hike because I want to meet the love of my life. Because imagine falling in love with someone. This is my nightmare. And they want to go on a hike every weekend. Oh.
Terrible.
Couldn't be me. Whereas I'm like, I would love to go out with someone that wants to go get a drink on a Friday night. So, like,
pick your poison. Pick your poison. My second last dating with intention tip is to go for quality over quantity. And again, I think this goes back to, like, the whole, like, not having had any, like, super bad dates. It's like, well, you have picked higher quality people to go on those dates with. Mm. And I don't necessarily think that just because you might be going on, like, one date every 2 weeks or one date a week, that that's a bad thing. I think when you try to put too many dates in your weekend or too many dates in your week, that can overwhelm you as well. And then it can almost make the experience a little bit less enjoyable as well. So I say quality over quantity. I think you would disagree with me on that, won't you?
Yes and no. I do agree that I think quality is obviously better than quantity.
But you're however, like, it's a numbers game. Get out there.
Yes, I think that there is a line, whereas, like, quality over quantity can mean one date a year for some people because they just never quite find anyone that is, like, up to scratch, whereas, like, that's unfortunately not going to work.
No. And I can back that because in 2022 I went on 5 first dates and last year I went on 13, so I doubled it. So
yeah. And whereas I think that there is a number of, like, dates you need to go on that also help you figure out, like, what the qualities are that you like in a person, mm-hmm. and what you're willing to be flexible on, because you can write a list of all the most perfect traits you want in a person, but, like, very unlikely that person is going to exist with all of those right off the bat, and also all of those things that you can gather from a Hinge profile and a couple messages.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be able to, like, meet these people and have a conversation to discover what qualities they do have that you like. And the only way to do that is to say yes and go out on these dates.
Yeah.
So, yes, vet these people. There needs to be some qualities that you are like, absolutely no, I'm not interacting with anybody that has X, Y, Z, or I only want to go out with people that have ABC. So fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, like, a quantity that there needs to be involved, because you can't just date nobody and hope to find the love of your life.
Rocking up on your doorstep.
I wish.
All right. And then my last tip is to, this is kind of overarching, but just staying true to yourself. And it goes back to what you were saying about the right person for you will be the right person for you. Yep. Nothing you say, nothing you do, nothing you share, no matter how vulnerable you are, doesn't matter if you sleep with them on the first date, nothing that you do or say will be able to put them off or ruin it for you.
Mm. I read this when I was reading through this one sheet, and I was like, I actually needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Because there is always a lot of anxiety, even in like new relationships. Of being
so
like,
much anxiety.
Oh, like, oh, I know I need to tell them this, but like, I don't want to freak them out just yet. And like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So if it freaks them out, let it freak them out. But exactly. If it doesn't, that's a good sign.
If it's too much to handle, then it's too much to handle and someone else will handle it.
Yeah.
But no, I like that.
Very reassuring. All right. Now I do have an activity for the listeners because I have done this activity in the past and I did this before I went into the dating pool last year and I found it so helpful and I found it gave me a lot of clarity on the things that I did and didn't want. Again, if you are confused about what you want, that's all right too. It doesn't matter if you're not sure. And I think you can do this activity even if you don't necessarily want a relationship. Like some parts of this are just good for self-awareness. Anyway, so in this activity, what you're going to do, you're going to write some lists, okay? You're going to write a couple of lists. We love lists. In the first list, you're going to write down qualities, personality traits, values that are really important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Write, make the list as long as you want to make the list. Catch is you can't put anything physical on the list. Doesn't matter if they're 6 foot, doesn't matter if they're got nice teeth, nice eyes. Don't put anything physical on this list. I'm talking about things on the inside.
I'm sure the list will start out with the absolute bare minimum of kindness and respect. Everybody, please have kindness and respect on your list. But also some of these traits are just like given.
Yes.
Whereas I know when my last relationship ended, basically the next week I was like writing a list of like all the traits that I wanted a person. And for me, it was like extroverted.
Yeah.
Things that not everybody has, but like qualities that I appreciate. Someone that has the ability to hold a conversation with a stranger. Like,
yes. And that is the thing. It's like, what is related to you? What do you find attractive? What would you want in a possible future partner or person that you want to be with? You're then going to write another list where you look at your past relationship or past mm-hmm. relationships and you look at the things you did like. And you write those things down. You can also look at the things that you didn't like and then write down the things you want more of, or what you would want from like the next future person, because that can kind of give you some more tangible examples. And then you're going to make a third list with your deal breakers. So mm-hmm. these are the things that would make someone incompatible with you. Mm-hmm. Very important to have clarity on them. Things like if they don't want kids, if they don't want marriage, yeah. if they do want kids and you don't, if they want marriage and you don't, if they're a drinker, if they're a smoker, that might be, I mean, there's lots of different deal breakers out there for different people. Again, relate it back to your own experiences. But doing this activity will just give you some of that clarity. And then what I want you to do after you've written all three lists, I want you to make another list and I want you to like narrow it down to 5 things max on this list that if you could just pick 5 things from that list for like what your potential person could have, write those things down. And the reason I'm saying just 5 is because like the longer your list is, the harder it's going to be for you to find someone to firstly like check all of those things off. But it's also like there are going to be some non-negotiables. So figuring out what is like the non-negotiables from that you cannot live without, and then just carrying that with you while you go into the dating pool if you're ready to look for a relationship or if you're wanting to look for a relationship.
Yeah. Because when you said 5, I was like, why do we have to not cull it down? Like, why can't we just have a long list? But
imagine if you have a list of 100 things. Imagine finding someone who's going to match that. Probably not.
And I think as well, it's about like, obviously there are some things that goes without saying, like kindness and respect, that like those can be left off the list because they are
bare minimum.
The absolute bare minimum.
Same as like a good example is like not being rude to waiters or like wait. Like that's a given. We hope that the person we're going to end up with is not going to be an asshole to waiters.
Whereas like my list, I can't even think about it now, but like someone, I did have a bit of a list. I had my No Man Has All 3 challenge, which I don't know if I've touched on this
podcast.
We
haven't, but tell them.
Essentially, when I was dating, I'd gone on quite a few dates and I'd come to realize that the man I was going on dates with did not have all 3. And these 3 were a full-time job, a driver's license, or the ability to ask questions. So all men that I went on dates with needed to fill these 3 like bare minimum things in order for me to be like, okay, I could date you. Even then, some of these weren't deal breakers.
Yes.
but
it was a bit tongue in cheek and a bit fun. You were having fun with it. But they were, no man had all three.
Yeah. And I think that's something that was very important to me and like something that would make my list, I guess, is that, you know, I wanted someone that could drive.
Yeah.
I wanted someone that, and to me, like driving represents, there's a lot to unpack here, guys. We don't have the time to go through, but driving represents more of that, like, independence and not having to rely on me to do things and like more of that shared effort that driving can create in a relationship, which was important for me. So I guess when you're doing those lists, figure out what it is about those traits or those qualities that mean something to you and why, because that will provide you with a lot more insight that will very much help you carry into the dating pool.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me to share all these things.
All right, and we're at the end of the show. So sad. Loved having you
here. I've enjoyed this one.
I know, so much fun. But, you know, we wrap our Sunday episodes with a recommendation. So things that you are loving right now, watching, reading, eating, whatever.
Very, very random.
Yeah.
My recommendation is Mecca Max products.
Okay, any in particular?
I recently bought a brow gel yesterday, which so far I've liked, but also their eyeliner.
Okay.
I went into like Sephora and there was like a brow gel for like $50 and I was like, that just seems not worth it. There are some products that I will spend money on because I think that it's like worth it. But to me, like brow gels are not one of those things. Mm-hmm. Even eyeliners, I used to be a big Stila all day waterproof eyeliner.
Yeah.
After like three uses, for some reason, it completely dried out. I went to Mecca and I was like, guys, what do you recommend? The Mecca Max one has been my favorite. It's $19 opposed to like $42. Don't sleep on home brand makeup products, guys.
Love that. My recommendation is so different and so rogue. It's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
When did that even start?
About 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks from the time of this episode coming out.
And you're enjoying?
I love it. I've been purposely making time to watch it after the day every night. So I love 7:30. And I have to say they have cast this year's cast so beautifully.
Really? Who's your favorite?
My favorites are, I've got two. Firstly, Khan Ong, because I love Khan. Got a lot of time for him. I know him quite well and we are obviously friends, but rooting for him, I've been voting to like save him and keep him in the jungle. And then Skye Wheatley has captivated me.
Wow.
Okay. So I watched her last night. She was in a, almost like this coffin filled with snakes.
Nope.
Called the Viper Room. And she handled it like a fucking boss. And I just have so much respect for her. Also, obviously it's an edited show, but I just think her energy and the way she carries herself and how sweet she is. I have obviously known who Skye Wheatley is. She's a very well-known influencer, but I've never followed her before. And I follow her now because I'm like, I'm backing you too, Skye.
Yeah, I've never really gotten into reality shows.
And I love Callum as well. I think he was on Love Island overseas. He's so great.
See, I've never been a big like reality show person. I think because I just don't have the time to like watch TV when it comes out. And then I like feel like I've missed it. Yes,
that's usually me. But I've been sucked into I'm a Celeb.
I watched Love is Blind, really loved that.
I haven't seen it.
Obviously very different vibes, but like, I think I'm going to get on my reality TV train.
Yeah.
I think I need to get amongst
it. I'm for it. If any of the listeners watch I'm a Celeb and you want to start a thread in the Facebook group, I'm happy for you to do that. I'll comment on it too. All right. We're going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much, Em, for joining me. Loved it. It's been a great chat. And guys, we love you guys listening too. So please, if you haven't already, share this podcast with someone you know because word of mouth helps us more than you know. And post us on your stories at Your Safe Space Pod. And please, if you haven't, give us a rating on Spotify or Apple. We love a 5-star review, don't we?
We do indeed.
And as always, if you have any confessions or questions for our next week's episode, please leave that in the show notes. All right, we will see you guys soon. Follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook group and follow our TikTok and look after yourselves. Take care of each other and take care of you. All right, bye. This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land, hosted by me, Adele Marie. Your Safe Space is a part of the Amplify Podcast Network.